שבוע טוב ומבורך. ברשות בנם של קדושים, ברשות בעל הבית, ברשות קהל קדוש, I don't know if anything in that introduction is quite accurate. A lot of it sounded on the side of exaggeration, except my admiration for the Babov dynasty, for the great Hachamim and scholars that has produced, from the Kedushat Zion to the Kerem Shlomo, and to the current great rabbi that you are very lucky to have. It is true, I am a student of all these Sefarim. Not that we don't have enough Sefarim in our library, but these Devrei Torah are very, very special and very unique and have a very sweet taste. And they're very enjoyable to my palate. And whenever I mention the Devrei Torah of these great Hachamim, there's always a positive response. So it is true. But what you might not know, that although my connection to Babov clearly is not in my genes, nor do I look like any of you here tonight. However, it must be that in Shamayim, they have already established that I am an unofficial member of the Babov community, and I'll explain why. Not because this is the second time that I've been invited. I learned with one of the great rabbis of our community, who's a Dayan, Tamid Hacham Asum. I showed him the invitation to tonight. And then he sees my picture in the corner, and he looks at me and he says, Hinei Yamin Ba'im. Mashiach's coming. That the Babov and Rabbi Mansur should get together. I said, this is it, Hacham. But in Shamayim, I believe that they have agreed on this connection. Last Monday night, I was in Los Angeles. They invited me to speak for a yeshiva. They put me at a dais like this, and the main supporters of the yeshiva were there, and to my shock, they had seated me next to a very old woman, which was a little uncomfortable, but that's where the balabayit put me. And I didn't have any conversation. I ate, I don't know who she is. And then she turns to me and she says, you know, the yeshiva is named after my husband. Her name is Lady Kornbasser. And she says, the yeshiva is named after my husband. I said, oh, it's very nice. And thank you for coming to speak. And then we were quiet for another 20 minutes. And then she says, you know, my husband loved Rabbanim, and I want you to know something. We had a rabbi called the Kerem Shlomo, and he was in our house in Los Angeles and made a tish. And I said, do I look bubbled that you're telling me this story? You must have had hundreds of Rabbanim in your house. She says, yes. I said, so why did you tell me the Kerem Shlomo? Do you know that I'm a Hasid of this rabbi? I have no idea. And then she goes on to tell me that this rabbi was the most elegant rabbi, the most ethical, the most proper, the most decent. I said, what makes you say that? She said, at the tish, if you just would have seen the way he would give out the food in such a dignified manner. And she went on to speak the praises of Kerem Shlomo. Now, this was not a Hasidic yeshiva. It was a Lithuanian yeshiva. They asked me to come speak. And look at the Borei Olam. He puts me in front of this woman, and she only has one story to tell me about one rabbi of the Hasidut that I know, the Kerem Shlomo. I look at that as a sign from heaven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has officially inaugurated me to this congregation and community. And although I don't look it, but it seems that people sit next to me, they feel I'm part of it. So I told Mrs. Kornwasser, I said, you'll allow me to tell you a story that I heard about the Keren Shlomo. She was shocked that I heard about it. I said, well, it's well known that the Rav was staying up all night like we do on Shavuot, which is our custom, and a few strangers came into the yeshiva, or the Bet Knesset, and they saw the Rav reading the Tikkun Lev Shavuot. And they noticed that every hour on the hour, the Rav would get up and walk out for 10 minutes, and then he would come back inside. And he would do this throughout the night. They thought it quite strange. Turns out they ended up eating a Sehuda by the Rav's house, by the Rebbe's house, and they had the curiosity enough to ask him, why does the Rebbe every hour get up for 10 minutes and walk out? He said, you ask a good question. He said, you know, there's a lot of Hasidim over here that they're staying up all night, but maybe they're tired, and as long as I'm sitting in front of them, they're probably embarrassed to get up and walk out. So I get up every hour and walk outside to give them a chance to, and they say to themselves, if the Rebbe can walk out, we can also walk out. And they're not embarrassed maybe to go home, to catch a few, sleep for a few minutes. So I told her this story. Her response to me was, this is very consistent. This is very consistent with the rabbi that we're talking about. So, I feel very privileged. And I don't kid myself. I know there's many Talmidei Chachamim in this room alone that could probably do a better job than I at this pulpit. So I'm humbled the fact that you've considered me again to come say a few words of the Dvar Torah. I consider it a great zichut. The question that I had this week when I was reading Parasha, Yaakov Avinu has a dream, and much has been said about this dream. He dreams about a sulam, a ladder. That in itself is a little strange, to dream about a ladder. Yaakov Avinu wasn't a fireman. What is the significance of sulam? So I look at the Baal HaTurim, and the Baal HaTurim makes it even more problematic for me. Because I thought sulam must be something Kabbalistic, something Apiyah Zohar, and he was dreaming some sort of a mystical, you know, very high level concept. Sulam must represent something in the Merkabah. And then the Baal HaTurim comes along and says, sulam is gematria mamon. I guess if you spell sulam with a vav, it equals 136. And mamon, mem vav, no, there's also 136. So that makes me even more disturbed that Yaakov Avinu alav shalom should have a dream about money. Yaakov ishtam yoshevo halim. He sat for 63 years. Now, I know what the Talmidei Chachamim dream about. There was a rabbi called Shut Min HaShamayim. He would go to sleep with a question on his mind, and he would dream the answer, and then he would write it in his She'elot and Teshuvot. She'elot u'tshuvot Min HaShamayim. Rav Chida talks about it in Shema Gedolim, and he questions if he could rely on this book because of Lo HaShamayim. But that's what the tzaddikim dream about, Torah. When Rav Chaim Vital saw Rabbeinu Ha'ari sleeping on Shabbat for 15 minutes, and he saw his lips moving, so Rav Chaim Vital waited for the Arizal to wake up, and he said, Rabbeinu, your lips were moving. He said, in these 15 minutes, they took me up to the Pamalia Shemala, and they told me over Hiddushim on the Parashat HaShavua. So Rav Chaim Vital said, could the rabbi say them over to me? He said, what I learned in 15 minutes in Pamalia Shemalia will take me 70 years to say over to you. Now that's what I expect Arizal to dream about. Our great rabbi, Chacham Avadya Yosef, alav shalom. One night in the middle, I know it's your custom to tell stories about the Tzaddikim on Motzei Shabbat. We have a similar custom. Chacham Avadya, alav shalom, wakes up in the middle of the night in his pajamas. He goes into his library, takes out his ladder, And he climbs up the ladder, he grabs the sefer, he starts to turn, he looks, and a big smile on his face. His son, who woke up from the noise, says, "Daddy, what happened? What are you doing?" He says, "I went to sleep, and I had a question. There was a contradiction in the Radbaz. And I said, how can it be that Radbaz writes in one of his Tishuvot like this and the other Tishuvot like that, and I couldn't reconcile it?" He says, "I went to sleep and the Radbaz came to me in a dream. And he said, look in this sefer that I wrote on this page and you'll see the reconciliation." So I have no problem with that story. I believe that Racham Avadia dreamt Torah, as well as the Arizal, and as well as Shut Mir HaShamayim. And then we come to Yaakov Ishtar, and what is he dreaming about? Money. And the Baal HaTorim is not embarrassed. Zula Bimatriya Mamon. Wow. It needs Iyun, it needs analysis. Beshut Kaal Kadosh, I'd like to offer the Fi Aniyut Da'ati, maybe a possible explanation. I don't say to anybody, Kabelu Da'ati. If you have a better answer, I'm just looking for the truth. I'm not looking to promote my answer, nor do I believe it's better than another answer that might be more closer to the truth. But this is what came to me. It's based on something that I read in last week's parasha from a great rabbi called Imre Noah. He has the famous question, the million-dollar question. Is it possible that Yitzhak Avinu wanted to bless Esav? Did he think that Esav was his heir? Did he think that Esav was such a tzaddik that he deserves the blessings? It's impossible. He must have known that Esav was Ish Sadeh and Yaakov Ish Dam. He has to know it. So why did he want to give the blessings to Esav? It's a famous question. And according to the Imre Noam, it happens to be the same opinion of the Hatam Sofer. It's also the opinion of the Malbim, and many have this approach. That of course, none of us would imagine or dare to say that Yitzhak Avinu was naive. Lo aleinu afla lepumayim, someone can say such a thing. Yaakov Avinu in his blindness had better vision than any of us would ever have. There's no way to say that Yaakov's old age or his weak vision would cause him to get confused. You're talking about Avotenu HaKedushim. And he knew, he says, that Esav was Ish Sadeh. But Rivka tells Yaakov, you better go in to get these blessings. Now what were these blessings? Rivka was so interested that Yaakov should get the blessings. What were the blessings? V'rov dagam v'tirosh, money. And I say to myself, Rivka, Yaakov's not a money man. He's a learner. He's going to go with his father and risk his life for money? I can imagine the great tzaddikim when they went to their rabbanim for berachot. Imagine the rabbi would say, you should have a big Cadillac and a big house with a swimming pool. This is, we don't want this. We want to be dachamim. We want to understand what we're learning. We want to say things alibad hilchita. And Rivka is so interested, go in, he's giving out money, go get the money. Who cares about money? Yaakov cares about money? Explanation is, he says, Yitzhak Avinu had an idea. Give all the money to Esav. He's a money man. Esav's the money man. He's Ishtar. And he'll be the one that will support Ishtar Yoshev Ohadin. He was creating the famous contract of Yisachar Zebulun. It's a strange Yisachar Zebulun, because in Yitzhak's mind, Esav is, he's not Jewish, he's a goy. But that's the way Yitzhak understood it. The goyim have a purpose to make money, and Am Yisrael will learn Torah, and the support will come from Esav. It's not such a big mistake. I'll tell you why it's not such a big mistake. Because the Pasuk writes, Vayehav Yitzhak et Esav kisayet b'fiv. He loves him because he gives him food. Now that's childish. You love your son because he feeds you. Even the most delinquent of parents would not confess that they love their children because they give them food. But the explanation is because Yitzhak Avinu studied Torah all day long. And what did Esav do? He fed his father. He's the perfect zivulun. Daddy eats so you can learn. Daddy, you didn't eat breakfast. You're not going to have strength to learn. So he said, he's doing his job. He's not a learner. He's a businessman. But he does good. He makes sure that the Tamid Hacham has food. There's nothing better than that. Not only that, but Esav asks his father questions. Now, what's going to be the question of a Zivulun? It's not going to be, how did you understand this Tosafot? What's the pshat in the Maharsha? How do you reconcile this contradiction? That's not going to be Esav's question. If he's a businessman, his question is going to be, Kesav Ta'asrin et HaMelach. He asks questions in Melchot Ma'aser. It's a question in Hilchot Tzedakah. Yaakov doesn't ask such questions because Yaakov doesn't have any Maaser to give. But Esav is such a makpid, he wants to know, you have to give Maaser on soul, you have to give Maaser on light bulbs, you have to give Maaser. Yitzhak is so impressed. Ad Kedekah, he's so makpid on his Maasrot, he'll be the best Zivulun. So therefore his plan was, give Esav the Rav Zagan Betirosh, give Yaakov Bekat Avraham, and we have a perfect shiduch. What was the mistake? Rivka Imenu knew one thing that Yitzhak didn't realize. That Esav is a fake. That if Esav's going to take the money, he's not going to give it. Now you know what type of tragedy that would have been? That means Esav would have got the money. Yaakov would sit and learn, the first paycheck would come, and there'd be a blank envelope. Yaakov would go to Esav, what's the deal? I'm not giving you a penny. And then the Mishnah would have said, in En Terah, En Torah, and Torah would have been forgotten in Klal Yisrael because it would have died from attrition. Because if there's no support for Torah, it cannot exist. And this would have been the greatest tragedy of all times. If Esav would have had the checkbook and the purse strings, there would be no yeshivas, there would be no Torah. But what was Yitzhak thinking? Again, my theory, Yitzhak wasn't that far off. Because the Zohar HaKadosh writes that La'atid Lavo, right before Mashiach comes, and when he comes, that's the way it's going to be. The support for Torah is going to come from the Amin, from the Goyim. And guess what? It's happening already today in our time this evening. In this country that we live in, Malchut Shel Chesed, it's a direct descendant from Esav. Just think of how many millions of dollars come from the government of Esav to the yeshivas. With all sorts of grants, with all sorts of monies that come in. It's already starting in a small way. Bizein Anpin, it's already starting. How many billions of dollars come from Malchut Esav to Eretz Yisrael? And that money trickles down to Bnei Torah. So Yitzhak Avinu, he had the right idea. It was just premature. I once said, because Yitzhak Avinu already was so great, his mind already was already in the future world already. I brought an ayat to this. You know the machlokets Bet Shammai Bet Hillel. Bet Shammai Bet Hillel halacha ke Bet Hillel. There's a famous machloket on Periyah v'Reviyah. Bet Hillel says to fulfill Peru we need one boy and one girl. Bet Shammai says two boys. We know Avotenu HaKadoshim kept the whole Torah before it was given. They kept the whole Torah before it was given. That's why Avraham Avinu had a boy, Yitzhak. And then it says, Vashem Berachet Avraham Bakor. And the Gemara says, Bat Hayat Avraham Avinu Ubakol Shema. He fulfilled the halakha, halakha ke Bet Hillel, boy and a girl. Ken Yaakov Avinu, he had the 12 Shematim and Dinah. He fulfilled Periyah v'Reviyah Avivad Bet Hillel. However, Yitzhak Avinu, he has Yaakov and Esav. And then he stops. Why does he stop? You didn't fulfill Periyah v'Reviyah Avivad Hilchetah. So what should he do? Get another wife, get a pilegish, continue truck. No, he stops. The explanation is because the Zohar Kadosh says, La'atid lavo when Mashiach comes, halakha's like Bet Shammai. In Yitzhak Avinu's mind already, he's already holding by the end of time. And therefore to him, halakha's like Bet Shammai. Therefore two boys is enough, you fulfill the halakha. So if you're living already in the time of Bet Shammai, Esav can support Klal Yisrael. Rivka was still in Olam Hazeh. She saw the husband is too holy. So she was able to orchestrate this amazing scheme. Pay attention. Yaakov Avinu walks in. Yitzhak Avinu asks him some questions. And all of a sudden Yitzhak Avinu says, Hakol kol Yaakov, Vayadayim yedei Esav, Vayibarechem. Now, clearly Yitzhak is confused. He says, I don't know who this is. Hakol kol Yaakov. He sounds like Yaakov. He feels like him. So in that case over there, we have a general rule that says, Safek Barachot Lehakel. And here it says, Vayibarechem. He should have said, well, I don't know who you are. How could he give a Barachot with Safek? Explanation is, he understood exactly what was happening over here. He said, I thought that the Kod Yaakov has to be Yaakov, and the Yadayim Esav, the Parnasah must come from Esav. But now I see that it has to come from the same person, that you have to have both responsibilities. You have to be Kod Yaakov, and you have to be Yadayim Esav. It all has to come from you. That means the support for Torah must come internally. It must come from Am Yisrael. So therefore, at that moment, Yaakov Avinu, who's the Ish Torah, he became now Rav Degam Betinos. Pay note. His mother was very smart. Rivka says, when you go in, wear your brother's clothes. Because when you go to your father, you're not going to get the blessing of a yeshiva man. If you're getting a blessing of a yeshiva man, you put on a black jacket and a black suit and a black hat and you get the yeshiva blessing. You need the blessing of a businessman. So you go in as a businessman. You put on your brother's clothes. You put on the clothes of the Ish Seder. That's what he did. And all of a sudden he comes out with all this money. Yaakov never saw money before. But now he has to deal with money. Just as a side point, what I'm telling you now, which is a chidush, we don't give Rivka Imenu enough credit for what she did. There would be no Torah in Am Yisrael if it wasn't for that move of Rivka Imenu. As I said, if Yaakov wouldn't have got the checkbook, there would be no support for Torah. It would be the greatest tragedy. So therefore, Rivka Imenu is the one that is responsible for feeding the entire Torah world. Physically. And that's why I explained in this week's parashah that's coming up, parashat Vayishlach. Amazing thing. It says that Yaakov Avinu gets to Bet El, and all of a sudden he gets news that somebody passed away. Who passes away? Mineket Rivka. The nurse of Rivka, Devorah, Neket Rivka. Yaakov Avinu says, oh, this is a tragedy. We must call the place Alon Bachut. Comes the Midrash and says, Alon actually is a Greek word. Alon means another, or an extra. Aher. Bichiya, ahar bichiya. Alon Bachut. It's two bichiyot. And that she brings down from the Midrash that Rivka Imenu also passed away. So therefore it was a double tragedy. And I ask a simple question. The Torah mentions the Mineket, but doesn't mention the Rivka Imenu. So the Hazal deal with it. But I explained it, that no, the Torah is coming to say the greatest compliment of Rivka Imenu. Rivka Imenu is mentioned in the Pasuk. Rivka now has a new name. Rivka is called Mineket Rivka, the one that supports and feeds Klal Yisrael. She becomes the Mineket. The Torah is hinting that to us. by her bringing Yaakov in to get Rav Dagan v'Tirosh, she is responsible for giving life support. Etz Hayim Hile Mahazikim. She's been naked Rivka. She went from being Rivka Stam, and now she has the greatest. So therefore, they put her in the same pasuk as Deborah. Deborah gave milk to the child. But Rivka was Mineket Kol Klai Yisrael. Oh. Well, now Yaakov has money in his pocket. It's a big danger. Vayishman Yishurun Vayimahat. Especially somebody that never had a taste of money or a feeling for money. Money can corrupt. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu has a dream. He doesn't have to have a dream on Torah. Torah is his forte. He needs to get a dream on his new position, on the monetary position. He's been a Yisachar his whole life, but he needs a Musar on how to be a good Zivunun as well. That he has no experience. And now he's going to Laban's house to be a Zivulun, to go work, to make support, to pay for the Shabbatim. So he dreams about money. And what's the dream? Sulam Mutzav Arza. That's the Mammon. Malache Elohim Olim B'Yordim Bo. What is Malache Elohim? The Pasuk says in the Navi, Ki Sifte Kohen Yishmeru Da'at. The Torah yivakesh mipihu, ki malach Hashem sevaotu. The Torah compares the Rav, the Rabbanim, to malachim. Those that study Torah are like malachim. The angels in that dream are hachamim that study Torah. Ki malach Hashem sevaotu. You know what they were telling Yaakov? Money is good, the sulam is good, only if there's Malachi Elohim attached to it. If the money is going to support Tamid Yachamim, Yaakov Avinu, you have a responsibility. Don't take that money now and do other things with it. The Sulam has to have Malachi Elohim. That's the only purpose of it. Now you always wonder, when a person, in this case, has a dream, how do we know that he understood the dream like we're saying? How do you know that he got the message? Very simple. What does he say when he gets up? The moment he gets up, he says, V'chol asher titen li aser aserenu lach. His responsible is, his response to the dream is, not I'm going to learn more, because it wasn't a dream about learning. He didn't say, I'm going to go read Tehillim more, I'm going to go to the Mikveh more. Because it wasn't a dream about Kiddushah, it wasn't a dream about the Bikut. It was a dream about money. So the response to a dream about money is, I got the message, I'm not going to give Maaser, I'm going to give Honesh. Yaakov Avinu says, I'm going to give Aser to Aser. I'm going to give double the amount that I normally give. He got the message. Now go make money, now go give out the money. And the Bortaiding is very appropriate. The theme of the night tonight is the Sulam, Gematria Mamon. You're very lucky. You're very lucky that you have institutions that you're able to support. Some communities you go to, and I travel around the world, they're fledgling. They have a small bed kineset, they're trying to get some money to build the mikveh. They have one school and it's dilapidated. And here I'm reading on these papers that you have in front of me. What institutions? Glorious institutions. Magnificent numbers. But in En Kemach, En Torah. Now I will conclude. Imagine if somebody comes to one of us and asks us money for the yeshiva. And we say no. You know what Rivka Aminu says from Shamayim? I went out of my way so this won't happen because Esav's not going to support. And now you're not going to... I brought the money to Klal Yisrael. And you're answering like Esav. What did we go through this whole ruse for? For Am Yisrael to say no? You have to remember that all this was done because we couldn't trust Esav with the money. But Chas v'Shalom, that we can't trust Am Yisrael with the money either. That when people come along and say, I'll give Hachnasat Kala, I'll give Gimut Hasadim, I'll give the hospital, but we say, but we're collecting for Avrechim. I don't give Avrechim. I don't give Kolel. That's Esav's line. That's from the Esav's playbook. Where did you get this answer from? We have to check your lineage. What kind of answer is this? And therefore I say to Botai, Ashlechem Ashlech Aviyechem. Number one, you have institutions that are on Talat HaKodesh. That's clear. You don't need my certification. And Baruch Hashem, if God puts you in the position to have some mamon, to have some kesef, so you have a great opportunity to take some of that money and to do what Yaakov Avinu has to do. Yaakov Avinu has to support himself. It has to go from one pocket to the other pocket. Tonight we didn't come to celebrate Kol Yaakov. Tonight we're celebrating the Yeder Esav that we have. We had to take Yeder Esav. And that's why probably his mother, when she put the skins on him, she put the skins on his hands and on his neck. To say that Yaakov must have two responsibilities, the Yadayim and the Kol. And this is what I say tonight. Ashlechem v'ashlech al kechem, those that are involved in supporting the institutions of Baruch, it's money well spent. And I pray that Be'azrat Hashem, like we say on Motzei Shabbat, based on the Benu Ari, the blessings, v'yitem necha ha'elohim mitan ha'shamayim, u'mishmane ha'ares, v'rov dagan v'tirosh, amen v'amen.